This podcast is a product of the Hyper RPG Podcasting Network. Visit hyperrabbitpowergo.com to learn more.
Special Hyper Otaku. Thank you for sticking around. Thank you for joining us. It's so good to see everybody. Thanks for being here. This is the final episode of the year.
Oh, 2017 is ending, you guys.
The year is ending. And in case you didn't know who we are, Rose. Up here. I'm Azevedo. And guys, every Christmas, I have this tradition where we make a whole pig with my family, Cuban style, over like a bunch of coals in the hot box. So, yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
And I am Emma Fife, and 1 year on Christmas, I thought that Santa didn't bring me anything for my stocking because we forgot we hung our stockings up on the fireplace in the formal living room instead of in the family room. We had two fireplaces in my house as a kid. I've now realized I was very privileged.
Ho, ho, ho. What a terrible story.
Oh, missed two fireplaces.
And I'm Michelle Chubby Bunny. And my fun Christmas fact about me is that every year I hold a white elephant at my house, except that the gifts have to all be free garbage from your own home. It's very fun because everyone gets to give away their garbage or gifts they don't want, and everyone gets to enjoy it. Weird old shit.
Hey, I got some booby figures. So
yeah, that's true. I got
a witch blade figure, and the, I made like a bandit. Yeah. A bandit this year.
Anyway, I'm the Warlock, back from the brink of death, and today is my cat Mycroft's 7th birthday.
Happy birthday!
And I'm Maxwell Song, and this is a story from my childhood. But I thought Santa was very Korean because for some reason, for a couple of years, I would get all of these Korean snacks. And I was like, oh, that's kind of strange.
Oh my God.
And I thought for some reason that Santa was like, you know, just like was like a racial chameleon in which he just kind of conformed to the culture of like whatever child that they were getting into. Yeah, but then I realized that it was my parents being super lazy and then going to the Korean market that was like next door. Still had the best snacks, so, you know. I'm just saying.
I love it.
What a great Christmas story.
That's a beautiful Christmas story. And we are Hyper Otaku.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. This is a mess.
Guys, thank you so much. Last one of the year. Let us know how you celebrate. We want to know, are you watching anything over the break? Let us know. We'd love to hear from you guys. But now it's time for our final Weeb Weekly of the year, everyone. That's right. The best anime news that make you the best weeboo you could possibly be, y'all. The first one.
Yeah, we got animations again instead of us pretending that they're animations last week.
I did like our cues though. Our little...
I know, those were really nice.
Oh man, I'm really excited for our first news, guys. During the Jump Festa over last week, which is a Shonen Jump convention, basically, they announced a very exciting game. I am overwhelmed. During the first, it's a open world One Piece game called One Piece World Seeker, and it looks amazing. I'm gonna pull it up real quick.
He's seeking out worlds. By worlds, they mean countries. I just spelled countries wrong. It's fine. Hey, where's that trailer, Mad Boy?
Wow, yeah.
All right, there we go.
Why you gotta kill One Piece like that, Michelle?
All right.
Yeah.
Look at that. Look at that fully 3D rendered Luffy.
So it's supposed to be
it looks
fairly
really good,
open world. You play as the protagonist, Luffy, some kind of pirate guy.
It's so rubbery.
It's rubber animation.
Right.
It's really cool.
This is just one of three games that Bandai
Namco got some dangle on him.
Wow, this looks really
good. Look at those abs.
Right.
27 abs.
Yeah, that's how he rolls.
Yeah.
27 abs.
27 abs.
That's pretty awesome.
So is it a fighting game?
It's an open world. And what's crazy is that this home base that they're at, they're on a marine base, it looks like. They're on some sort of like G8 type of style a marine base. I don't know if he's separated from the team or if they're going to be like summons or whatever.
Oh,
there we go.
Oh, boy.
I was
in a barrel.
Good reference. Good reference. Like, I like it.
Know, Link does.
I'm just so excited. And I don't know, like, the story. I don't know if Oda has any hands. Like, do we know if he's doing anything on it?
It said he did write an original story for this, I think, in the news article.
Oh, he loves doing that. It would totally make sense if he did.
Very Oda thing to do. And, you know, guys, don't forget there's going to be a One Piece live action Hollywood movie or series. I can't remember which one.
It's a series.
Oda does have a hand in that as well. He's been carefully monitoring so that it isn't.
That's nice.
I don't know.
That's nice.
That it might not be garbage. But I don't have.
Yeah, I believe the word you're looking for is garbage.
Fool me once, I'm still an idiot. Fool me twice, still an idiot. So I can't.
That's definitely not how it goes.
So guys, one of the games that Bandai Namco revealed at the Jump Festa this last weekend. They also revealed My Hero Academia One's Justice, which is yet another fighting game in the genre of games.
It's actually a Naruto, like if you've ever played any of the Shippuden games, like it has
the Ninja Storm.
Yeah, the Ninja Storms. It's basically kind of that.
Right.
System.
So they're starting that with My Hero Academia, and it looks cute. They have the original voice actors in there, and they also revealed a trailer for Black Clover Quartet Night Games.
I will wait to play that one until I can play it in English.
Pretty much.
I hear the English dub isn't really less yelly. But
it is less yelly. It's definitely better than the original.
It's still
Japanese.
Pretty screamy. He does his best, okay?
He's just trying really hard.
Okay? Yeah, exactly. He just wants everyone to know it, too. But basically, I'm really excited for these games, y'all. It's basically showing up was like, yo, Matt, what do you like? Oh, yeah, I got you, dude.
That One Piece.
That One Piece. My Hero Academia, and I'll play the Black Clover eventually. But yeah, I'm super excited for that. And it looks like a lot of people are excited too.
ToonMan509 reminds us that, hey, we are getting that live action JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, which I heard is actually pretty fun.
I'm actually not opposed to live action JoJo as long as they make anime but with people.
And we
see that is possible with, what was that freaking series we watched with the action figure teacher? You know what I'm talking about.
Blazing Transfer Students.
Exactly. Yeah.
I was like, whatever, guys. This is like almost too Japanese to understand how it's funny.
So good.
BlackRock Wednesday says, I want Asta to sing Christmas carols. I wouldn't want that, but that'd be funny.
He would just be screaming Christmas carols.
It would be like Linkin Park singing.
Sorry, guys.
I don't love Linkin Park, but I cannot. All right, next news story.
Oh, huge ass Pikachu tail.
Sorry, that was me. I knew
it,
Max.
Huge ass Pikachu tail. It's just a huge ass Pikachu tail. I don't know what to say about it.
Oh, man, that looks really comfy.
It's literally just a huge ass Pikachu tail.
You guys got to start looking at all the different angles, you can see
that it's still a huge ass Pikachu tail.
Oh my God!
If you would like to scroll down,
no, we're not. We're not going to browse the internet, guys.
Scroll down.
Get in trouble.
You know what that looks like? Is one of those
chicken nugget?
No, it looks like those pillows that like pregnant ladies get, so you can lay at the right angle,
so their hips can be.
This is a girl squeezing. This is also a huge ass Pikachu tail.
Get friends. What the hell?
It looks kind of like, chicken finger dipped in cheese.
I was going to say, it actually looks like a curly fry dipped in chocolate, but
it also looks like
still works too.
Yeah, it also looks like a huge ass Pikachu tail.
It looks like a huge ass Pikachu. If you can see, there's also a huge ass Pikachu tail here.
All right, guys, and that's the way the news goes.
Yeah, that's a huge ass Pikachu tail.
I love that this was newsworthy.
Yeah, I would like to give you some real news. Rose of Versailles manga is getting 2 more chapters. That's real news.
But I mean, is it as good as a huge ass Pikachu tail?
Lupin the Third gets a 50th anniversary project with Monkey Punch as the chief director. That's also in
stop googling news.
But
we have a lot to talk about today, guys.
I feel like people need to know because, you know,
and the holidays are around the corner, and you need something for that loved one while you're away on your vacation.
Wait, can you buy this Pikachu tail right now?
It's probably pre-ordered.
I'm sure it'll be on eBay in like
probably
3 minutes.
Probably pre-ordered.
It's on eBay now. I bet you.
It's sort of the holiday of pre-orders.
We'll figure it out.
Well, that's the news for this week.
That's
everyone.
The news.
Not our best.
Not our best.
Now it's time for our final hot takes of the year, everyone.
Woo-hoo!
Guys, this is the best and worst thing that we found in the anime this week. So yeah.
So my hot take of the week is that I thought the last episode of my
MMO Junkie
was last week, but they had an omake episode, like an extra episode this week, and it was adorable. It's a little extra episode where The main character, whose name is Kusumi right now, I'm really tired. Mori has to go and like save Sakura-san in the game, and it's real good. It's real good, and it's very cute and extra. So I'm very happy they did that, because it was a really short season.
Yeah.
So if you haven't watched it, go watch it now, or else you don't like anime.
My hot take for the week is I started watching the Erased drama, and it's really good.
Live action
drama. Yeah, the live action drama, and it's really good. I don't like it as much as the anime, and I think that some of that is because there is sort of that supernatural element to it that I just feel is so nice with the way that the series is animated. And also there's some really difficult stuff in there. If you guys are familiar with Erased, there's some child abuse and neglect and stuff that's difficult to watch with real children. But I have to say, the little kid who plays young Satoru, give him all the awards, cast him in everything. That kid is on the money, because he has a very, very difficult role of playing a child who is actually an adult, because he's traveled back in time and he still has all of his adult experiences and memories in his brain, even though he's back in his child body. And he does such a good job of playing that and just exhibiting this incredible level of empathy that this kid has that like a little kid is not capable of. He's unfreaking believable. So it's totally worth watching just for that kid.
That's awesome.
Yay. Daniel Radcliffe of our generation.
Yes.
All right.
Guys, my hot take for this week is actually a video game related thing, because I got lost in Legend of Zelda DLC, y'all. If you haven't played it, straight up, that's all I did this week. And I finally beat it 2 days ago. And I gotta say, I did not see that final boss coming. And that's all I'll say. And I thought it was so perfect.
Did you get the motorcycle then?
I did. And I just been.
Did you get the Sonic motorcycle?
I've just been bombing like mountains like an idiot. Just like, I can do it.
I'm really excited to do that sometime over this Christmas break.
Yeah, it's real good, guys. That DLC is, you get some great cutscenes. And that final boss is amazing.
And hello, Jamie, saying I must find this live action Erased. It's very easy to find. It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
The regular Netflix.
Just so regular old Netflix.
Not illegal Netflix.
Fun holiday streaming for the whole family.
Some lighthearted child-friendly streaming. Probably not like
watching all the details.
This is not the thing to introduce your parents into what anime might be.
Just curl around the campfire, get some hot chocolate, some marshmallows.
All right. You may.
My hot take this week is, because I am so hyped for Cardcaptor Sakura and the clear card, I basically have binge watched all of the original Cardcaptor Sakura. And it is available on Crunchyroll, both in subbed and dub, and man, does it hold up.
I've been rereading the manga, and I feel the exact freaking same way. It's so good.
I am like vibrating with excitement for the new Cardcaptor Sakura.
Yeah, it starts January 18th.
Second week of January.
The one thing that I am sad about is like the animation in Cardcaptor Sakura is so good. Like
the original, it's Madhouse.
And it just, you know, like just watching all the new promotional stuff, it loses a little something because it is so digital. But it still looks very good.
Hey, these are hot takes. What's yours?
Oh, I have a hot take.
We just gotta
show the video. I'm not gonna see it.
Because Max always has a goddamn video.
I hope it's a video of someone spooning that Pikachu tail.
No,
it's not. It's not a bit.
Is this Ryan Reynolds related?
It's not a
big ass Pikachu tail.
Look, I love how everyone speculates like it's some big joke that every time I do something, it's
oh god. Okay, what is this?
This is already.
Oh no, Max, what is this?
Watching all of it?
Okay,
let's like a minute. All right,
Trap Coon. That says quote unquote quote unquote. Mm-hmm.
Oh boy. You want to hear this?
Is it Detective Pikachu Ryan Reynolds?
No. Max, what are you making us watch?
All right, can you please explain what this is? Maxwell song, go.
It's just like this random animation that I found while I was looking through.
What? Right, I'm done.
Max, you
signed him out of Google.
Oh my god.
I just felt like, you know, everyone needed to see that.
Did you Google anything about why this exists?
No, this was a real thing. This is a Japanese animation. This is a Japanese short. Like, okay. I'm not, like,
no, but who's it?
Up.
Who's it by? Like, why did they?
Oh, I have no clue. I mean, I basically just watched it. Like, this is enough.
Well, in a more positive note, thank you, Stella Chu, for the raid. Thank you for raiding us. Yeah. Welcome, everyone who came over from Stella's channel.
Wow. Yeah, thanks.
You're
so
welcome.
Oh, my God.
We're talking,
oh my
guys, God, Max. We're talking about butts. Look, it's the right kind of butts.
It's like, you know, it's a joke. It's all, you know, it's our president.
Guys, that's our hot take.
All right, hot take.
It's over. That's the last one of the year. Throw it in the garbage.
Max is going all out.
Goodbye, 2017. Yeah, we hate you.
Well,
I'm soaring into the sun. All right, I'm gonna burn up. It's gonna be magical.
Please let us move on.
All right, we're moving on, guys. It's time for our final next time on.
Someone made that in Japan.
Matt is like trying to come back from the dead right now.
Matt can't even recover, Matt.
That's good. Okay, it had impact. That's what matters.
Guys, we're continuing our review of two series, Ancient Magus Bride and Food Wars.
I shouldn't have pulled this out. This one was Food Wars episode 12. I can't remember the name. The name was something like...
It was like Reach the Summit or...
There was a mountain and they reached... So this was the last episode of the season, right?
Yes.
It looked like it.
See, I mean, the cliffhanger they ended on felt very season ending.
They had a special ending.
Yeah, they did.
Like they clipped the opening.
That's
ending,
right.
Yeah.
They sure did. Sure did. And that ending song is dope, by the way.
I'm very excited.
We'll talk about it more.
But guys, this episode was saw the unofficial Shokugeki between Soma and Atsushi.
But don't worry, it didn't fucking
matter. It didn't matter anyway.
It didn't. So why did we watch it? That was very confusing. Like, hey,
because the bomb got dropped at the end of
the
episode. Yeah,
yeah. Also,
the bomb that I dropped was the stupidest bomb, by the way. I was literally
was
like,
this bomb has been like three seasons in the making.
It's very true.
And like half the characters already knew it already. They're like, yeah, that's
the
end.
The point, the point of the whole episode was to show what, you know, the mountain that he had to climb.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. I have no lack on this one.
But it gave him like, you know, more hope because he thought he was like some unattainable god. He's only a slightly unattainable god.
Yes. He's definitely reachable.
I just like how everybody like spoilers, guys. Everybody's just like, oh man, and he is like, I'm in love with this guy who really influenced my life, and
who
then
definitely looks like Yombe.
Is like, I had this senpai who definitely looks exactly like Soma. And then someone's like, that's my dad. They're all shocked. Like,
excuse me.
I didn't think he got to this school.
But then, like, half of them are like, yeah, look, there's a picture of him who visited, and it's definitely his dad, and we all knew that. Except two main characters didn't know.
I was still delighted by the revelation.
Yeah, I really liked it.
Listen, I 100% called it as they were going through it. I was like, aw, it's his dad. Yeah. And it was, and I was satisfied.
I think it was just like a funny reveal. Like, the audience is like, oh, I know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I was like, I mean, I liked it because we've been waiting three seasons for Elina to find out that Soma is the Juricho, Joichi. Is Soma's dad.
Yeah.
And I just love that. I just really thought it was like a really good moment. And to kind of go with Max saying, like, it does show not only for it's like this glimmering light for both Soma and for Erina, though, like that there is like a possibility to like defeat her dad.
Yeah.
Well,
and probably become friends with him. That's what
Soma
does.
Is that name different than his name? I can't remember. Nakamura.
His real name? They said his real name.
Or
Nami is his last name?
Like, his name's not the same as...
Yeah, it's not the same.
Namgiri is the...
No, not Nikiri.
No. Soma's dad. Juichiro.
Juichiro.
I don't think they explained that in the anime.
Yeah, I'm not sure that they've explained it.
The reason his name is different is because he, like... Well, there's backstory.
Never mind. We don't care. All right. It's just different.
It's manga backstory.
And that's why no one knew.
If you think about it, it's like in the beginnings... You're wondering, like, oh, he's just a diner chef. How did he become such a great chef? Like, and then you find out that he's the first year. And so you kind of, it's not strange that it's all actually interconnected.
Oh, his name is Saiba Jokino. Yeah. Okay.
I liked it.
It was a good episode. It was the last one of the season.
Is it actually? I thought we were getting 24 episodes, though.
Well, it felt like a good middle-y.
Definitely the middle-iest of middle ones. Because when they have that ending where they cut the music out, you're like, this is a good reveal.
Yeah, whenever they like sync shit with people's movements and they show, like, I was like, wait, this is
so wait, is it coming back in
I think
January?
So. I'm,
yeah, I think this is like the middle-y end, and there will be a couple weeks break.
Which means a new opening.
I'm very excited for another a new opening, I usually enjoy this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but so far I love this first half of the season.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it too. It's been really strong and fun and just everything that's great about Shokugeki. Just keep,
the squad,
they just
man.
Keep turning it up.
Yeah.
And, you know, and when they cut through that meat though, like, man,
I would like to tell you that I watched this episode while I was eating the steak that I had prepared from HelloFresh, and I felt pretty good about myself. But
I watched it while eating leftover prime rib from my.
I watched it while eating Cheerios.
Yeah.
I watched it while eating Greek food. What did you watch while? What did you eat while watching it?
Actually, I think I was eating half of a Laffy Taffy from yesterday.
Wow, that's sad, Max.
What the hell?
The boys in this group are. Just rough. All right, guys.
Well, I'm sorry we didn't have a fancy steak. We don't have fancy steaks or like two fireplaces. You know what I mean? It's not my fault.
Yeah, bringing it back.
Too many fireplaces.
Someone says Jabberwocky said it's taking a break till April. Food Wars. So we'll be back in April. Yeah. We'll be back in April, which I'm looking forward to that, guys. Can't wait.
Jabberwocky for letting us know. And now we are moving on to the Ancient Magus Ride.
It's like the wrong intro for what
it's Yeah, it's definitely super appropriate for this show.
Not appropriate for this show.
Very fairy, fairy tale-esque.
Yeah. So such fantasy.
So this is episode 11, Lovers Ever Run Before the Clock. Is that right?
Yep.
11? Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
This is there. I might have fucked that up, but whatever, guys. It was the latest one, and it was really, really cute.
It was so cute.
I feel like the animators just having a fucking field day. They're like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to animate some magic today.
Yeah.
Use all of our animation abilities. Like, it's so
cute. Because it was all about, like, Chisei learning more about Elias's past and then making her wand. And this, I have to tell you that it, you know, when you first go into the series, it seems really weird because he buys her out of slavery with the intention to have her be his apprentice and eventually marry her. And at first that feels really weird, but they handle it so delicately and wonderfully that at this point I'm like, no, I like kind of buy this love story that's building between them, and I'm really on board with it.
Yeah.
I just want them to be in love.
In that moment where, and like, I this might get a little personal, but like I felt connected because like when they're talking in the pond to each other, Elias and
such a good scene.
Yeah, and he's like, and he's like, you know, it's like even with like all the heat on, like it's so cold here without you. I'm like, so I miss my girlfriend.
His girlfriend so far away.
It was so sweet.
It was a very good episode.
It was really pretty. I think like I was kind of watching it while I was also like finishing notes and stuff. But like the scene for me was like the elves.
I feel
like a lot of times when you see elves in anime, they're either like moe or like kind of a weird trope from video games. And I feel like the elves in this scene are very, very much more like a traditional Celtic or like a Norse.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that I enjoy. Like even when Lindell was explaining to her the differences between all the wood that you could use to make your wand out of, like that is all actually based on real like Celtic tree mythology. Yeah. It's the way that they incorporate that kind of it's a kind of
like they've taken a lot of care to kind of
read
the mythology of like high fantasy.
Yes, exactly.
It's that lore though.
And which is like something that has always attracted me from the beginning, man. Yeah. I love that. Even in the OVA, like the different regions.
Because it feels deeper than
the...
just an anime. Exactly.
It does. Yeah. It also feels different than the usual stuff. Because you've been so bombarded by this European kind of like Harry Potter-esque fantasy or like Lord of the Rings fantasy. Which then you realize that there's a totally another subset of European, I guess, fantasy that like people rarely touch, rarely, and do very well.
And I mean things like the King Arthur legends have a little bit of this kind of sort of mythology in them, but it is really nice to see it really fully explored in this really beautifully animated anime series.
And you know, like as you go on, and it's, you know. Reading the manga and stuff, like there's a lot of other stuff that starts to like that they throw in. So whatever your flavor is, there's always some sort of like magic involved, you know. Which it's just like wow, what a beautiful developed world that they've made for you know like I guess a complicated premise, but for the most part, like also pretty simple.
Absolutely, definitely.
So Ancient Magus Bride episode 11, very good. You guys should watch it. See. Kate Gibson Rex was asking about, like, you guys should talk about old school stuff like Outlaw Star. We did an episode on that already.
Yeah, we did.
You can find it on YouTube.
If you think about it, we 80% talk about old stuff.
Yeah, we try, like, we try to talk about new shit.
We're
going to get into some nostalgia in just a little bit here.
Get ready.
Oh, yeah, guys. Because now it's time for our best of 2017. We broke it down into different sections, guys.
Christmas.
Ooh, happy New Year. Guys, we broke it down into different sections. The first one we're going to talk about is the best anime openings of 2017, in my opinion.
Oh, God.
Remember,
this is all opinion based.
This is all opinion based.
That is the thing, guys, is as we stress a lot on this show, anime is a medium. It is not a genre. So obviously we are particular to certain genres and we are very much sharing our own opinions. I am sure that many of you disagree with us. And that's okay.
We're all different people who make up a big, beautiful planet.
And straight up, like,
we are a tapestry of variety.
Each
and
one of us is a thread in that tapestry.
That's true. That's actually very true.
A nice rug.
And like, honestly, with like openings in particular, I can talk about them. All of them for a long time, but there's so many, and I limited to five. So let's do it. So let's do it, guys. My first one is the Inuyashiki opening, "My Hero" by Man with a Mission. This isn't the actual like cinematic, but you get some clips of it and from the opening from in here. But you get, the song is so good, man. Oh my gosh!
I think all this music. Here we go.
Man with a Mission.
Yeah.
Inuyashiki. Okay. That's a good turn.
Lucas, there we bump go. That up a little bit?
Oh my god.
Could bump that
you
up?
Can't.
Lucas is just texting.
Naeem!
Probably can't bump it up. Okay. Do better, Matt.
Those who are unfamiliar with Man with Mission, yes, they always perform with wolf heads.
That's probably it.
They always perform with wolf heads, yeah.
Awesome.
So I have like a whole lore. They're like a concept band.
Okay, so this is the opening for Inuyashiki.
Yeah.
What do you mean they have a whole concept?
Like, there's a story, they're like aliens, and we're gifted, like, these wolf powers and something like that. It's so totally on the roof.
Which I read.
It's a concept band.
That's amazing. They're a high concept band.
Yeah. I love that so
much. But I think the theme song is like, it just kind of like summarizes the show really well. And if you look at the opening cinematics, like, it's the conflicts between the two main characters is just like it shows the struggle. Because he comes in and he's this fucking, like, he's given up on his whole life. He has no purpose at all. And he finally gets his gift and he's able to use it to help. But the other character who's the nemesis, he uses it just for such pure evil. Like, the purest of evil. I think this like theme song is so in your face and it's like, oh, like, it just captures the series really well.
I'm not familiar because I'm still on my strike against anime strike.
Well, potato.
I mean, right. Oh, I got bumped.
There it is. Now I got it.
I love this series, but I hate the opening.
You hate the opening?
No.
What?
Oh, it's a little too edgelord even for me.
I haven't watched it yet, but I'll get to it at some point.
All right.
Right.
Moving on.
My next one is the Recreators opening from Spring. It's so good. I couldn't find the full the actual like cinematics because they take out all the cinematics. Maybe just jam out, dude.
Do it, quietly.
There's a lot of good opening songs that maybe the animation doesn't match up with, but usually it does. But that's okay.
Matt tends to like
this is the one that I
he really
believe
does like Jim Jam songs.
The old Jim Jam.
You gotta do it.
I definitely think I got a feel for Matt's taste in music.
There's nothing that gets me like more excited and more in the mood than these kinds of openings, y'all.
I just love how his voice got like three tones deeper.
Yeah. Talk about how yo into it he was. Uzumaki, we were talking about Anime Strike is the service that Amazon has, that is a separate service you purchase through Amazon Prime to watch anime.
Yeah.
They have
with an additional
five bucks or something.
So you got to throw five more bones to Amazon Prime, which is already like $12.
Exactly.
So that is what Anime Strike is. They're not giving us money to talk about them, so we're going to stop.
That's my fourth opening.
Pheasants for breakfast.
This one is you can consider it a Jim Jam. But
that's weird.
It starts off a little weird.
I love it.
Here's why I put this on here, too, is because this kind of like summarizes the conflict between Chisa and Elias. Like, it's like the opening, especially with the cinematics, it shows the struggle. Like, she's in nothingness. She is by herself. Yeah. She is alone, segregated. And when the music, like, this kind of shows
that is this like I a, think it just sounds very pretty. Music? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like this is a music theory course.
I studied music in college. It was like part of my major.
Oh, so someone spent money on
it. Do you want to go into like a Napoleon Dynamite, like figurative dance thing?
Oh, I love this opening song. I really do. I completely agree with your analysis as well, Matt. And this song gets stuck in my head all the time. So this is my vote for number one.
I would say the opening two.
Yeah, the ending's great.
The opening two is like a really good, like, it gives you a good feeling of like what the series encapsulates, you know.
So it's my favorite part of the song. Adventure, but fantasy.
Yeah,
yeah. A good, but this is a good opening. Has the components of like really hooking you, and then also giving you a good summary, and also the potential of like how good the animation can get.
Right.
So an opening is super important.
Exactly, especially with this, because like she's by herself, but when they start picking up like that, that's the dance between them. That's them accepting each other.
I would like to point out that we're watching, we're looking at fan art. This is not even like
I know. Where did you find
this? It's YouTube, but they don't have the official video.
We should be putting this on anyway.
Oh, Michelle.
Number two
is the Shokugeki opening. I think this is the actual opening too. Yeah.
Opening four.
Opening four. Yeah.
It is pretty good. Now we're back to like the Matt Jim Jams.
But
so
I think
like real fast guitar.
But I just
it's very quintessential shounen.
Wait,
anime.
I'm sorry. We have to get an ambulance. Michelle is having a seizure.
I'm like, grateful.
Like her face was contorting in a way that it shouldn't be possible.
That just sits on your clavicle.
I just think that this opening is like the show, you know, it feels like the show to me. Like it's the one that like that just feels like it's fucking food, it's sexy, it's cool.
It's like intense.
It's intense. Like,
we got memories.
Sure. Yeah.
We got trades. We got fire and kung fu. We got lions.
We got
Bowen.
Oh my god.
We got the moon. We got fireballs.
Oh, so fun. All right, our last one, guys. Our last one.
One is surprised by what Matt's top choice is.
Yo, okay. It's a little biased, but I got a reason. I got a reason. And it's peace sign. The second My Hero Academia opening, y'all.
This
list
is very, very Matt.
Don't worry, Tommy. Naeem. All
right. Naeem's crying in the background right now. You're not going Dragon Ball. My name is Naeem. I love Dragon Ball.
He does love Dragon Ball. I will say that this song just makes me feel so happy and inspired, and it makes you feel like Deku. It makes you feel like you can inspire to be whatever you want to be, and that's why I love this theme song so freaking much.
I like the next opening better than this one.
I like the third opening better.
Not this one's bad, but I just I like the third one better.
Yeah, this one's good, but I agree.
Yeah,
I think I just like the song better too.
Music's got by Jock Jams, y'all.
There you go, guys. This has been Jock Jams with Matt Acevedo.
There it is. There it is, guys. I have some honorable mentions. Of course, I did put the Dragon Ball Super on there because that was the first one ever, I think, that summons up Dragon Ball like as a franchise. It actually feels like Dragon Ball to me. Mm-hmm. And the Boruto theme song, I put that as an honorable mention because it's just like it's a good shonen opening.
It's a good shonen opening, but it's also, you know, J-Rock.
Right.
I mean, they're all J-Rock, but
I mean,
you know, it's
no
like
different than what Matt listed.
Yeah. I think the difference is like, you know, it's just like Naruto. It has such a long history, and it's just like another J-Rock song to them running is like
I
love the Naruto, but you gotta admit
the
they have
Naruto.
History.
All right,
and just really one last thing is I thought the ending to Shokugeki was just real, real good, y'all. Like,
yeah,
real,
the
real
ending
good.
Of Shokugeki is great.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. We all agree.
Okay, yes. Right. Tight.
All right, guys. That was Matt's tight 10 of
yeah, dude.
Music for the 2017.
Tight 17.
Yeah.
My section is not that exciting. Where the fuck is my thing? I actually made a little joke section because I couldn't think of anything very good. The year 2017 has taught us all about things we never thought about. The most niche anime of 2017. Here we go. I just put them all in one image because that's how I fucking roll. I listed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them. Whatever, guys. First, we're going to talk about Fastest Finger first. That's right. Quiz shows. We learned about quiz shows in real detail. Uh-huh. And I only really watched like 3 episodes of that. But it was cute.
Yeah,
I learned some shit. And that was a good one. Fine. And something about putting the word finger in your... title. It just gives me a good giggle.
Terrible, terrible title.
Yeah. Gives me a good giggle.
It's like a bad surprise.
Sakura Quest was really cute. Actually,
it is really
it's very cute.
It's,
I think they gave it like 2 seasons. Like, it's pretty good. Yeah. If you guys, it's on Crunchyroll still. Both these are. And it's
on Funimation now also, if you want to watch
it's
streaming.
It's really pretty animation, and I really dig it. It's about the slice of life you're getting here is what it's like to be an idol for a small town. So you help promote the town by just being an idol.
Yeah.
So that's great. Good job, Sakura Quest. March Comes Like a March Comes Like a Lion is my favorite. I've been talking about it all year. They do the main character plays shogi. He's a professional shogi player, even though he's a teenager. And the art is beautiful. The music's beautiful. The animation's great. The OP and ED, very good. But you guys should watch that one if you haven't been. I promise I'll stop talking about it one day. Another weird one that came out, which like we never talked about on the show ever, was
the
Sidecar.
Yeah, dude. I've actually seen a couple episodes of these. They're pretty interesting.
It's about sidecar racing.
I mean, there's no like particular arc, which is kind of what bothers me. There's not really a story.
It doesn't really go anywhere.
Yeah, but the sidecar part, like, so basically the formula is like, you know, it's about the partners. It's about, you know, so there's like friends and one, there's ones where it's like, they're two, the twins, like two twin sisters. And they just have this story of like, you know, what it is to be like sidecar, except it doesn't go anywhere. And it just like, is like a character vignette every episode, but they have some really cool, two car animations. And if anyone has seen Oh My Goddess ever.
Oh yeah, of course.
Oh My Goddess was like, you know, their motor club had a lot of sidecar, and Belle Dandy was the second leaner car person. It was really nice to see that again, because that's kind of one of those really interesting sports that like deserves some sort of attention.
People don't talk about it. Now it has its own anime that has no plot. And no guys, plot. The last one we got to talk about for 2017 is Welcome to the Ballroom!
Yeah!
This son of a bitch. Okay, this anime kind of makes me mad because it was supposed to be like the biggest, like the breakout one of this year. And then, first of all, Anime Strike got it. Amazon was like, shall not watch this.
Strike, they just have this really good way of like making it impossible to watch their series.
I think the problem is that like Anime Strike like is getting licenses for these really good anime.
Yeah. Well,
but now they're not being seen.
The paywall is very high.
It's so high.
It's really almost unattainable.
And we've talked about it, guys. We've talked about it.
I was going to tackle that, actually, but I was going to say that Welcome to the Ballroom, across the board, the reviews for the ending of the season have been pretty rough.
Yeah.
People are not happy with the way the female characters have been written. The story, the arcs are just, like, just everyone's a shithole. Everyone's just really mean to each other, and no one's redeemable. All the females just hate each other for the reason that they're another female. So I'm like, great, that. Good job.
It's a lot of like female on female hate.
But guys, those are your.
I know, Michelle. Can you tell me if you like anime or not?
I love anime. Apparently, I only like anime. But these are the anime that I think. I really love Slice of Life anime for the fact that you do get a glimpse into like weird shit that you would never ever even think of, like. Like the one about like Hana, the Furuya, the card one,
Chihaya Furuya.
Yeah, there, Chihaya Furuya. Like stuff like that. Like I would have never known this sport existed if I wasn't for anime. Thanks, anime.
Yeah.
Teaching things I didn't know about.
Exactly. So my section was actually breakout series of 2017.
Which I feel like is unfair. We should have all done that together. best anime.
Guys. You don't understand. This is a totally different and non-related to my best anime of must-see anime.
Max is very close. What's wrong with you two people?
However, I will say mine is not based on personal opinion. I did some actual research and based it on reviews.
She really does have stats.
Here's the stats.
Despite the best efforts of being continuously buried by the continuing series or being a cursed anime strike or caught in the Netflix purgatory, these are series that amassed really huge followings. And like really like rabid fans.
Mm-hmm.
So first one, Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid. This was rated 4.7 out of 5 on Crunchyroll. Nobody saw this coming. It is one of the most cosplayed like animes of 2017.
Mm-hmm.
It's also like, one of the most beautifully animated.
It is really, really cute.
It
was a very refreshing harem series based on relationships, mostly revolving around women, especially a working woman, whereas it's usually revolved around like girls with big tits and a dude.
Yeah.
Not that there aren't girls with, well, dragon girls with big tits, yeah. But, you know.
But it, that was like one of the very earliest, because that was winter of 2017.
Oh, yes. Remember those halcyon days, guys? Like the beginning of 2017? Yeah. Oh. We're all like bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
So bright-eyed.
Oh, boy.
We're at the end of 2017.
Future.
Just like, burn it.
I am.
2017, burn it.
So, the next one is Made in Abyss, which is a series that I have not personally watched.
Oh, I haven't seen it either.
But it was also trapped to Anime Strike. The rating for it on Anime Strike is 4.9 out of 5.
Damn.
Anime News.
Those five people
gives
fucking
it like
loved
a 9. It's so high on Anime News Network.
Okay. And it's getting a second season, too.
Yeah. Yeah. You got it immediately, like in the middle of the season.
Not only that, but literally almost every site that reports on anime has called this one of the best series of 2017. And yet, like, I haven't seen it. Most of us haven't watched it. I looked just up the hashtag on Twitter. So many people love this anime that I now have to watch it.
Yeah.
But
set
it,
free, Anime Strike.
I know, set it free.
I love how Anime Strike became like this weird concentration camp of anime. It's just like, where did they go?
We hate Anime Strike.
They just disappeared.
But it's very beautifully animated. A lot of, like, you could tell just from the screen caps that I looked at on Google, like, so much of the work went into the backgrounds and all of the quality is just up there. It's mostly about a young girl who befriends like a humanoid robot and descends into this giant hole called the Abyss in search. And she wants to be like her mother, who is like a cave raider. But the dark twist is that once you go down this abyss, you can't come up, because when you come up, you get this disease that'll kill you. So it takes a very dark turn. So number three on my list is Kakegurui.
That's so good.
Which has an 8 out of 10 rating on Anime News Network and is trapped in Netflix purgatory. Netflix will be releasing it in 2018.
They wait for everything. They wait for it all to be out,
because
and then they subtitle it.
I feel like this one was on Crunchyroll for a hot second.
It was.
Okay.
It was
I'm
on
not
a
crazy.
Very hot second.
Yeah. And I was like, because I watched it.
How did that license work? They're like, you're allowed to have it for 2 days.
Time's up.
I think it was a takeover.
Give us $10, please.
So, yeah. So having worked on like a licensing end, it usually has to do with how much money is on the table. And I'm pretty sure that Netflix paid a pretty penny for this.
Netflix got the money.
They got the money, dude.
They got the power.
It is, very, very adult themed, and it is very beautifully animated. I think it
the
is definitely
is amazing,
yeah,
too.
It's definitely one of like maybe the two seinen kind of like older guy series that were really good. Inuyashiki being the other one. But it's coming out in 2018 for Netflix. If you guys haven't seen it yet,
we all make it 2018. You can watch it.
We make it there.
A few more weeks.
So number two is Recovery of an MMO Junkie. So that was another
one. Watch that one.
Another one that was a breakout. It is 4.8 out of 5 on Crunchyroll, one of the most successfully received webcomic adaptations of 2017.
Watch
it's a webcomic.
Yeah, it's a webcomic.
Wait, is this Korean webcomic or Japanese?
Japanese.
Webcomic?
It's available on the Comico app.
Oh, okay.
Comico.
But this is kind of the trend that is happening in anime, where they're starting to test webcomic development into anime series, and this is one of the first successful ones.
Oh, nice.
I don't think that people thought it was going to be as well received. It is specifically well received in the West. And a lot of it, from articles that I read, are kind of like why I like it. It's because so many of us in the West have played MMOs, and there's like a huge kind of love for relationships. Being
all our friends are
MMO.
From the internet, just like That's this true. Girl.
No word if they're getting any sort of season two, but I hope so.
Yeah,
that's a really cute show.
So number one for me is Inuyashiki. That has an 8 out of 10 rating on Anime News.
Remember when Matt talked about it for like 3 hours?
Was it 3 hours? My bad.
It
was a great opening, y'all.
But so long.
This is another series that's trapped on Anime Strike. And on Anime Strike, it has 5 out of 5 star ratings.
Dang.
By the same author as Gantz. I've talked about this plenty this year. It's very violent, complex ideas about morality. The main protagonist is an elderly man who's kind of pathetic and neglected and ignored by his family, and learns how to cope with a fatal disease. He gets, like, him and the antagonist both get robotic bodies, and they kind of take different roles. Mm-hmm. A lot of the comparisons have been made to Death Note because of the fact that Hiro, the antagonist in this, is not does not come out of it as a hero, even though he's like a popular guy who's smart and well liked. Mm-hmm. He ends up being like a sociopathic serial killer.
Yeah, real dark.
Real dark.
But yes, it is very popular, but so many of them have been regulated to Anime Strike that.
So those are the breakouts. So 27
All hidden amongst the honorable mentions I did have. Welcome to our future.
Mm-hmm. Honorable mentions were mostly because they already had like a huge hype train. Was Little Witch Academia.
Yep.
Ancient Magnus Bride, because it just had
had a prequel season two. Also,
yes, those are my honorable mentions.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So my topic is best classic, and by classic I mean just not released this year anime series that were added to a streaming service this year. Now there's going to be a lot of overlap in this because again, it all has to do with licensing. Licensing is very, very complicated with anime.
Yeah.
So sometimes things will live on one streaming service and then another streaming service doesn't get it. So a lot of these are ones that were added to streaming services that are not Funimation or not Crunchyroll, that maybe people who don't have every single streaming service on the planet like I do would be able to enjoy for the first time on something that they already subscribe to. So we are going to start with Crunchyroll, though. And this is actually a carryover that was added very recently from Funimation, which is Yu Yu Hakusho.
Yeah.
So good.
If you guys have never seen Yu Yu Hakusho, this is such a good series.
I love it so much.
It's so freaking good. It's based on the manga by Yoshihiro Togashi, who is married to Nako Takeuchi, who wrote Sailor Moon.
And he's back writing. His back's better.
Yep, and also writes Hunter x Hunter. But
there's a lot of there's like little like Easter eggs in Hunter x Hunter. If you can see like little Sailor Moon things,
it's really, really great. And the thing that's so good about this series, and that I connected with it so much more than something necessarily like a Dragon Ball as a teenager, as a kid, is because the characters in the show are just so freaking endearing. And it also, even though it is a very shonen anime, and it's definitely, it is a fighting anime, even though it's supposed to be sort of a supernatural detective series, there are still certainly elements of that. But
they just drop that part.
They drop it pretty fast.
Yeah.
But the thing is
the first season,
it's not overly predictable, and it was an early series to kind of subvert some shonen tropes, and the ending is so good. Ending of the series is unbelievable. So it is all on Crunchyroll now, so you can watch it. I know that it was on Hulu earlier this year as well, and it was always on Funimation. It's been on Funimation now for a long time, but I know there's some licensing issues with Hulu in Canada, so if you are in Canada, you can enjoy Crunchyroll, and you can enjoy this show. Honorable mention, it looks like they just re-added Ouran High School Host Club to Crunchyroll.
Nice.
Again, it's been on Netflix and Hulu back and forth for a long time. It's still on Netflix for sure. I didn't double check Hulu, but I think it's still there as well. But again, if you're in Canada, now you can enjoy Ouran High School Host Club.
So good.
Moving on to this is one that is on both Funimation now and Crunchyroll, which is Space Battleship Yamato 2199, which
I do not remember that looking like that at all.
That is what it looks like.
Updated.
This is the updated series.
This is
the 2012 series.
This is
a 2012 series, which is an updated version of the 1974 series Space Battleship Yamato, which of course is created by Leiji Matsumoto. And it's such a good way to kind of introduce, I think, a more modern audience to Matsumoto's work, because again, it does have this really beautiful animation. It's all updated. The other thing that they did with this is they really fleshed out a lot of the characters who were just kind of there and cool looking in the original Space Battleship Yamato. Mm-hmm. And also they made a very strong effort to really increase the number of female characters who are in this show and give them a much more developed role. So, for example, like the Space Queen has multiple sisters in this, where she only had one sister in the original. It's really great. This is another situation of a weird licensing thing where Voyager Entertainment had the license to it. And I think they still own it, at least in part. And they had released some of it, but it never got completed. But now Funimation has the streaming rights to it. It is also on Crunchyroll, and they will be airing the entire thing to completion. They are 6 episodes in right now, and it's literally airing simultaneously, dub and subtitled. So be sure to check that out. And honorable mention to Dragon Ball Super. They just added the dubbed episodes. of Dragon Ball Super to Funimation now.
Naeem and
guys, the dub of Dragon Ball is freaking great.
It really is.
It's really good. They have a really good sense of humor and they improvise some weird shit. It's really fun to watch the dub of Dragon Ball Super. So that's my honorable mention. Moving on to Netflix. This one is not exactly classic, but my number one vote would be for One Punch Man. When they first added it, they actually had the dub on there for like 30 seconds and then they took it away. Again, licensing. You can have this for, okay, your time's up. One Punch Man, also based on a webcomic by One, which was eventually turned into an actual manga that's illustrated by Yusuke Murata, who was the illustrator on Eye Shield 21.
Which is
a great manga American football.
It's great.
Yes. But basically, it's about Saitama. He's super duper OP, lives in a world with lots of heroes. It's a really funny, subversive take on the superhero genre. Mm-hmm. It's incredibly self-aware. It's very tongue-in-cheek, but also has a lot of heart behind it. Yeah. It's really great. If you guys have not watched One Punch Man, I don't know. Just go do it now. It's on Netflix. It's great. Yeah. And my honorable mention for Netflix is this year they also added Tiger and Bunny, which was also already available, I think, on Hulu. But Tiger and Bunny is so freaking awesome, you guys. And it's another sort of subversive take on the superhero genre. Hashtag product placement.
Hey.
It's really great.
Was it blue Pepsi?
Blue Pepsi.
Yeah, it was Blue Pepsi. That was like the one thing after watching Tiger and Bunny, I was like, I need this.
Yeah, it's a really great show. And then moving on to Hulu, my number one pick for Hulu is all of the series that they added this year. Can you guys tell I like anime about space? They added several Gundam series to Hulu this year. And again, these are all on Crunchyroll as well, but Hulu got them first.
Yes.
Which was, they added Gundam Wing, Double Zero, 8th MS Team, Seed, and Gundam The Origin.
8th MS Team.
Now, most of these did air on TV in the U.S. in some capacity, either on Cartoon Network during their Toonami block or on Sci-Fi. And then they kind of went into this weird purgatory where, like, Bandai had the license for them, but all there were these really old, expensive DVDs. And then finally, at New York Comic Con in 2014, they announced their partnership with Right Stuff to re-release everything on Blu-ray. And so finally, that is slowly happening. But we were lucky enough to get them all on streaming services earlier this year. In February is when they dropped on Hulu, and then over the summer was when they went up on Crunchyroll as well. I mean, guys, Gundam Wing, it's what introduced pretty much every girl of my generation to Gundam and also slash fiction. So,
yay!
As well.
And my honorable mention for this would also be Yu Yu Hakusho, which also went on Hulu before it went on Crunchyroll. Guys, watch Yu Yu Hakusho. It's really great. And then last but not least, Anime Strike can go die in a fire.
Wow, we're so excited about it.
What about the Anime Strike series?
Did they resolve that?
You didn't do Anime Strike series.
I didn't do any Anime Strike series.
Pikachu, give Pikachu a voice.
All right, so I guess this is... I just wrote stuff down, but the main topic was this was going to be an open table thing. So there's three categories. There's the solid bets, a series you feel like you need to see, like, you know, and then kind of like the standout uniques, like a franchise that you guys would recommend that's kind of out of the cusp. Like really unique, and you're just like, oh, this is the one that they need to see.
Yeah.
And then, of course, what were your disappointments for 2017?
Okay.
then a little treat at the end. Let's start off with the solid bets. Michelle, go ahead.
Solid bets that have been mentioned before, or no, haven't.
You can mention whatever. Yeah. It's literally what your recommendation is.
Sorry, guys. I will talk about March Comes Like a Lion, like, looking to, like, die. I just really like Chika, you know, who does that show. And then also, like, it's not just about shogi. Like, I think it really off-put people. Like, in the first season, there's, like, two episodes are just about the rules, which is weird. Just don't watch them. It's fine.
Just don't watch them.
Relationship between the characters and, like, how they figure out, like, what they need to do in life. And then there's a whole arc about the one girl starts getting bullied in school, and it's really fucking sad. And she starts getting ignored by everyone in her school, and then she tries to figure out what to do with her life. And it's really good. It's got a lot of heart. It's well animated. It's good fucking music. Better than Matt's. Said it.
Whoa.
Damn, fighting words.
Maybe the music is really good though.
I would say that, solid bets. I'm just really digging what we're reviewing right now. Like, both Ancient Magus Pride and Shokugeki
just make
me happy every single week. And again, they're both based on really good existing source materials. So, you know, not that surprising.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm with Emma on that. Also, Attack on Titan season two. Was it two or three?
Two.
Yeah, season two. And My Hero Academia, I think, are my
okie dokie.
Solid. Okay. Yeah. I'll have some words about that later.
Yeah. We'll all have words about that, I'm sure.
I think my solid bets were sadly the ones that you can't really watch. Like I really was into Inuyashiki. And I think I think most people will be into it. And Kakeguri, I was really into it. And I think most people will be into it.
Yeah. I think my solid bets is definitely My Hero Academia. I think that's just one of those, you know, like it does kind of have the old shonen tropes, but we're getting to the kind of like portions where it's super unique and it's ramping up to something really big.
Yeah,
I think it's kind of has some of the same appeal, but just even more so for a more contemporary audience that like Yu Yu Hakusho does, where you have these really endearing characters who are not quite what you expect all the time. So I love My Hero Academia.
I mean, it's just like, you know, these solid bets, it's like, okay, you have what, you know, a week and a half before 2017 ends. What can you watch? What should you binge, you know? Yeah. And so to me, I feel like My Hero Academia, if you've never seen it and you just need something really cool to watch or recommend to a friend, My Hero Academia is definitely one of them. And if you kind of want to do a little bit of weird kind of, like, hey, you like anime? Try this one. Dragon Maid, for sure.
Dragon Maid is great.
Amazing. The animation is so solid. The story is solid.
It's an easy watch, too.
Yeah, it's an easy watch. It's so lighthearted, and it even has great stories.
But, it's no erased, guys.
All right. So, standout uniques.
I forgot all about gamers.
That was what I was gamers.
That was so cute.
It was surprising. It wasn't what I thought it was when I started watching it. And then by episode two, I was like crying. Like,
I'm in complete agreement. Gamers, go watch it.
It's very cute. But it gets a little stupid towards the end, but it's all right.
Yeah.
Doesn't really go anywhere, but unexpectedly, it's a little
cute. Unexpectedly cute. Go, gamers, go.
Easy watch. Man.
Yeah. I'm with Max. I really enjoyed Tokyo Ghoul Live, the movie. I thought it was like a really good adaptation.
Oh, yeah. It's really good.
I forgot that was guys, a lot happened this year.
I forgot that happened.
In anime, a lot of really great things did come out of this year. It's like we had a really good live action anime.
Tokyo
Ghoul was great. Yeah. To US. That's a good get, you know?
Just a total tangent. How was Blade of the Immortal?
Yeah. I was going to say that. Blade of the Immortal and is one of my standout uniques.
Yeah.
It is a very good 2-hour adaptation of a really complex like manga series. It was very bloody, just like the manga, and I think they did a good job in compacting the most like important parts of that manga into 2 hours. I definitely recommend you watch it. My other standout is Dad of Light.
We forgot about how great that was.
Dad of Light.
Watch that shit one day. It's very good.
I loved Dad of Light.
Was Samurai Gourmet this year as well? Can't remember.
Was that 2016?
That was last year.
I think that was last year. Yeah. Well, all right. Well, people in chat are asking if Mob Psycho was this year or last year.
That was last year.
Definitely 2016.
So my standouts, and I'm just gonna go through them real quick. Recreators, I thought was very good. It's a shame. Because like not a lot of people got to see it. I don't know. Is that another Anime Strike thing?
It started off on Crunchyroll for 2 seconds, and then Anime Strike.
Anime Strike! What you doing to my anime? Recreators was really interesting. Yeah. It's basically about like what happens when every like creations meet their creators, and it becomes like this crazy.
Yeah.
They organize like a whole like convention. It's like insane. And I thought that was really good. All the live action ones. Fantastic. Kino's Journey, if you haven't seen it, totally.
Really good.
But also the Heaven's Feel movie for Fate. I've been waiting for that arc for so long, and it's very, very good. The animation is top-notch. UFO table never do any wrong. But once again, that's only standout to me because I actually know what the hell Fate is. And my favorite category, disappointments of this year.
Disappointments.
I don't know. Yeah. Maybe Attack on Titan season 2, which was basically a piece of garbage.
I liked it.
It was okay.
I liked.
It wasn't last season.
I liked the backstories that we got for some of the other characters. I hated the ending. I've talked about it ad nauseum on other shows, and I'm not going to talk about it anymore. I'm just done.
Damn. Done. I mean, it just was like a season of exposition, and yeah, if you're going to do like 2 years of wait time, you can't come in with just like, hey, we have all the story.
That's true.
The
problem
about.
Is that's it does true, follow sure. the manga. Exactly. Oh, well, they flip some shit around, actually.
Well, my brother is all caught up on the manga, and he's like, it's not good. Just it stop. Does, don't do
with,
it.
The problem with being caught up on the manga, like some of us are on the table, is that we're not excited for season three. We're like, well... I thought I was going to be excited.
I mean, it's hard. I kind of like where they're going with it, it's but it's like very high concept.
Yeah.
It's
like very not being with the main characters, is all I'm going to say. Yeah. Like, just it's a little boring. It's like,
yeah.
I don't want new characters. I don't want new characters. I'm done. Yeah,
especially because, like, people are going to die. It's like zombie apocalypse, but with giant people who eat people.
Yeah.
Any other disappointments on this table?
Oh, yeah. Black Clover, I thought, was a huge disappointment. Yeah.
It was supposed to be really cool.
It could have, and it, like you said, like reading the manga, it is cool. I think the anime, like, just with this voice acting, it really just takes you away from it.
That literally is my biggest disappointment because there was so much hype. The hype train could not be stopped on this.
Yeah.
Like, just from work, I knew how much people were paying for this license. Mm. And then it came out and I was like, yo, this voice kills it. I do not want to watch this.
Because I was morbidly curious when I wrote this, I did watch an episode and the animation quality has dipped very
hard. Oh,
shit.
Well, you went sorry, guys.
And now they added another character, which I guess it kind of makes sense, but it's the dude that wears the sunglasses and throws the fireballs.
Yeah.
Like his whole, baseball thing, and they added him, and he now also has annoying yelly voice.
What
so
the
now
heck?
There's another character who is a fucking who just is constantly yelling
hard
with
pass.
Another character.
No, thank you. Bye,
Black Clover.
Hopefully, it'll pick up. I mean, it's the beginning, whatever, and it does get more exciting towards the end. Mm. But at the same time, it's just like, oh man, you guys need to do some things. You guys got to get some miracles going. Yeah. And I don't know. I would say Boruto is sort of a mixed bag for me. Is like there's a lot of good stuff.
But
as a full season, or as I guess this is what, four seasons or two seasons now technically?
It's like a long one.
There's maybe real chunks of like gleaming goodness, and everything else kind of is like is
they
still amorphous.
First section kept it at like they could have kept it like 12 episodes, like cutting out the stupid mist like arc filler. Yeah. And then just go straight to the exams.
What Shinobi Bout? What about Shinobi Bout?
And again, we know it's not technically filler because it is in the manga, but like it's not very interesting storytelling.
Yeah. And then
absolute garbage.
And this is absolute garbage. Whatever you thought was absolute garbage. It's really nothing in this year, which is great, is like there hasn't been anything that has been 100%.
Wait, you're wrong.
Garbage, except for Handshakers.
No, you're wrong.
I'm with you.
Death Note, the live action. You guys
Absolute garbage. Yeah.
Absolute
Wait, no, guys.
Garbage.
Ghost in the Shell.
Oh, God. That was earlier this year.
That was March.
Like, messed up my life for a long time.
Dumpster fire.
They were just Tom, so... I had literally ejected that out of my mind because it was so sad.
It's, like, problematic.
For me, it was Neo Yokio.
I'm sorry, that was a disappointment.
Oh, no, that's a burning hot fire.
That's like a mess. It's absolute garbage.
Yeah. So again, guys, everything is very, very subjective. I know that there are some series that people really love that you're talking about in the chat, that we just don't watch, and I'm sorry, we only have so many hours in the day.
And
it's an opinion show. Exactly. We're gonna do our offense here, kids. Well. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
With that, well, I guess maybe instead of a game, we should just, what?
Yeah.
Why do I suck, Naeem?
Says that Naeem sucks. Probably because he didn't talk about Dragon Ball Super.
I really love the Dragon Ball Super arc going on right now. I think it's super good.
Okay,
to be fair, I did watch Dragon Ball Super, and catching up to it, it is really good.
It's real good.
That's for Naeem.
GT has fallen short, this is definitely
Yeah, Super is great.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. What were you
going to say? I was going to say, maybe instead of the game, we just thank our fans.
Yeah, I think so.
We just started doing this show
in September.
When did we start doing it? We started doing this in September. Oh, Emma's leaving. And Emma's out now.
I don't know what
we've only been doing it for a couple of months. And we really appreciate you guys coming and watching us. Our time slot has changed, but our loving fans have not. We've gained more followers or fans in the last couple of weeks especially. We really, really appreciate you guys hanging in there.
And you gave us an outlet to all of us come together and talk about something that not everyone talks about, I feel like. It's something that we love and
I also got a really nice gift from, so we did a gift exchange with anybody that wanted to in the Thumper Hyper RPG community. And my my Secret Santa, Samantha, a.k.a. at the Winter Depths on Twitter, she was working at an anime convention. And so she got me just a whole bag of cute stuff. So I got like this little Rilakkuma, and it's a square bag, and I love it. Well, it's really a rectangle bag. Squares are even on all sides. But there's like cute little penguins and this like Sailor Moon hair clip. And she like made me some freaking Sailor Moon resin jewelry. And I just wanted to say your Secret Santa game is on freaking point. And thank you. Thank you so much. If you're watching, if you watch on YouTube later, I really, really appreciate it. And if you have not gotten a gift yet, it might be because I'm your Secret Santa and I sent it yesterday.
The real garbage here.
I am actual garbage.
And everyone, thank you in the chat. People are saying, Coop Wilson, thank you so much. We helped you get back into anime. That's so nice to hear. This is really, guys, this is great.
I just want to thanks for people coming and watching this at the, pretty late time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, but that's when all trash is alive at night.
Who are not on the West Coast.
That our times have changed, and, I feel like, I appreciate every person that actually, puts their input in. Because that's really the most important part of these shows is the fact that, we want to hear from you. We want to hear your opinion. So just keep on coming and, join us next year. And this... I'm sure we'll produce stuff bigger, badder. We'll probably have
bigger and badder, uncut.
So there's only so much thanks that I have in my heart for everyone.
And even throughout the break, guys, you can still tweet at us. Keep that conversation going. We love hearing from you guys. And keep watching anime, guys.
Here's our resolution. Watch more anime!
Also watch Blood Barrier Blockade because it's really good, and that was probably one of my must-sees.
Guys, and until the new year, we are Hyper Otaku! We'll see you guys in 2018!
Bye!
Keep talking? Dragon Ball Super is really good.
Dragon Ball Super is pretty good.
Reject consideration. Seriously?
Are we
good?
Are we
still going? Are we done yet?
Are we done?
Goodbye.